Welcome back to the Jeff Plour Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. Want to be in touch with the program? All you got to do is text me, and we will respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. Joining us now on the line, he is our 9:30 guest here. State Representative Shane Stringer is with us. Representative, good morning. How are you? Good morning, Representative. How are you?
Doing great. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Thanks for making time for us. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
How you feeling about the election?
I feel as good as I guess I could be. I mean, you still never know with a situation like this, but the momentum that Trump's got sure seems to be good at this point, you know, seems to be peaking at the right time. So, you know, we'll see. We'll, you know, hopefully everybody will get a good turnout tomorrow. We've had a good turnout on the early voting. So, you know, I think the push to get everybody out to early vote is a positive, and I think it's going to help, you know, keep Republicans in the race for sure.
Well, this is probably the race we're all going to be watching here in Alabama. How and you're in that district, how much have you seen from, like the Carolee Dobson figure stuff? Do you have any sense of where that's headed?
Yeah, I think she's got a good chance at this. You know, she's really working her tail off, and she's doing the, you know, hitting the ground roots campaign hard, and you're seeing her anywhere and everywhere, and she's definitely working. You know, I think she's up against, you know, figures having more money or whatever, but still, I think she's going to have a super good shot at it.
Yeah, and you're seeing this flurry of activity at the end. I think that district, though, goes wherever the energy is on the presidential, the top of the ticket. So the question would be, do you feel it in your district? Do you feel it around town, Creola? Well, I guess, I don't know, it's the enthusiasm for Trump that's going to save the day there.
Yeah, it's super strong in my district. We're seeing lots and lots of, you know, pro-Trump stuff, you know, whether it's bumper stickers, signs in yards, and, you know, people putting stuff on social media. I monitor that a lot in my district and just trying to make sure we keep our people informed and of what we're doing and what we have. And in doing so, I've been able to kind of monitor what others are putting on there, and it's looking super strong in my district, and even up into Washington County and Clark County, which is also parts of the new district too. So I think she, you know, with the work she's put in and what she's doing and the support she's got, I think she's got a super good chance at this. You know, of course, the ratio is a little bit in figure's favor, but I think she can overcome that and potentially win this one.
Yeah, and but you do see a lot more. I know the yard signs don't vote or whatever. You see her everywhere. I haven't really seen him quite as much. Now, look, I'm not going to a lot of Democrat sanctioned events and places like that, but it does seem like her presence is, you just feel it more throughout the district. And now I don't know what it's like Phoenix City or I mean to some degree Montgomery maybe is probably where he's spending a lot of his time, but Mobile for sure seems to be leading her way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I've not seen him around, and I go to a lot of different events in Mobile and surrounding areas where you see, you know, you typically see Republican and Democrat candidates and elected officials there, and I've not seen him a lot. You know, truthfully, throughout the campaign, I've probably only run across or seen him one time the whole time where I've seen her, you know, probably three dozen times. So, lots of effort being put on by her and her campaign. And, you know, not just her campaign, man. She's out putting up signs. She is absolutely doing the grassroots work that is helping, you know, get the word and the message out to her constituents.
Joined by State Representative Shane Stringer here on the program. Let's just spend a little time here on some state stuff real quick. Now, I don't know how much you're tracking this VA saga at the Department of Mental Health, but I did hear this, and this was kind of caught my attention. Capital Journal on Friday night, and Kim Boswell was on. She was talking about this, that maybe like the real solution to some of these problems with veteran mental health, and she's talking about some more like some of these gun safety. I mean, I don't know if that falls within her realm, but like trigger locks or you know, enhanced gun measures, and you're kind of the firearm Second Amendment guy. When you hear something like that, I mean, what does that make you think? I mean, is that do you worry about where that leads when we start talking about things like that?
Yeah, I mean, there again, that's not going to be the solution to this. And, you know, everybody wants to run to that. But the fact is, we've got to have more mental health facilities and places for our veterans to get help and try to make sure that we're not treating them like secondhand citizens. We have got to put our veterans first, man. They have served and sacrificed for our country, and I think that it's only right that we do anything and everything to protect them and take care of them. And the first and foremost is making sure their mental health is good and making sure that we've got departments and mechanisms in place to help with that. You know, we can, you know, there's already almost all police departments, sheriff's departments provide trigger locks to people that want them for safety in their homes to keep children from getting them. And that's really available. So, you know, I think that we really need to put some money in mental health facilities and let's try to get the right help, you know, and then we're starting to see more and more veterans that are homeless. So we've got to find a way to treat those that are out there that are not coming in. So we've got a lot of work to do to address the mental health and to address the needs of our veterans. But I don't think that, you know, we're talking, yeah, that may help somewhere far, far, far down the line, but ultimately we need to look at the root problem of our veterans and how we can help them.
Are you surprised hearing these Republicans talk like this? That I am, because it's getting back to guns especially in the Republican legislature that passed a constitutional carry law, and you know, a lot of the policymakers, you know, the law enforcement level and even now, I guess, the medical profession, I mean, they're starting to kind of push in that direction. I don't think there's an appetite for that in the legislature personally, but the fact that they're actually doing it, why does that seem to be the go-to suddenly?
Yeah, I think it, you know, everybody thinks that's going to be the quick all fix all, and you know, and a lot of times you're seeing different ones. You know, we all have different constituents and the constituents that you know, want different things. So I think that you're going to see the ones that are pushing that, you know, are not going to be in good favor with their citizens, man. Our constituents don't want that. You know, we polled the constitutional carry law, we polled it for 4 or 5 years before we passed it. And every single time we did it, it was over 70% felt like that if they were legally able to own a gun, they should be able to carry it without a permit. So, you know, we did not change who can or cannot carry. People with mental health issues still cannot carry a gun. So, you know, I think that just shows you some short-sightedness on some, you know, because we have got to look deeper than that. We really need to look at the root problem and what we can do to fix the mental health issues in our state.
Well, in some ways, I it's like this nanny statism that we're having to live under. And I can't, I don't know why it is. That seems to be the go-to. And I, like I said, maybe it is a Second Amendment thing too, but people sort of reject having an all-powerful government telling you how and what's good and what's best for you and how you ought to live your life. So that to me is a big part of this. And maybe the state just doesn't get it. Like, enough of this, enough of trying to save us from ourselves. That's just, maybe that works in other places, but it doesn't seem like something that ought to work here.
No, and I totally agree. You know, during the constitutional carry bill, I spoke with one of our sheriffs, and, you know, and I was telling him what the polling was showing, that the polling was, every time we showed it, was 70%+ wanted this to pass. And, you know, he was like, yeah, but they don't know what's best for them. And I thought to myself, that is a typical government answer, you know, that big government knows what's best for everybody. I don't like that style of government. I think that the people are wise enough, smart enough to take care of themselves. And I think we need to limit government as much as we can and allow people to do just that. So I hope and pray that some of these other legislators that are leaning toward bringing that forward or pushing that, you know, wisens up and listens to their constituents, and let's do what the people want.
Well, and you're right, but will they? And that's always the tricky notion. Let me, as for the VA stuff, does any of that, you hate to see it just played out the way it is. What do you make of it? It's the legislature's going to have to ultimately do something here and change the way some of these government agencies are constituted, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely hate what's going on. I'm not on any of the better committees or anything, so I'm not as involved to know as much on that, but I do know just from looking from the outside in, it's absolutely not beneficial for our veterans what's going on. We've got to find a way to resolve this. You know, we had a good thing going with the way things were going. So, you know, I think if we can get back to a normal and get somebody in there that truly cares about our veterans is what it's all about. And, you know, I think the drama's got to stop.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But it's just this way, you know, you have some agencies that are under the governor and some agencies are sort of are independent. And it's not just this VA situation, representative. Like, look at like the state health officer or you know, you go down the line of any number of things. And why is it so different here than it is over here? Why do we do this way? And I don't know that there's necessarily an answer here, but trying to figure out, like, maybe it's time to, like, kind of look at these agencies and figure out which ones operate separately from the duly elected governor.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and I think we definitely need to take a look at that. I think that, you know, just over the last year, I've seen, like, the Sunset Committee, they've been really doing more of a deep dive into some of these that fall under committees and different groups that fall under them. And I think we've got to, you know, we need to do deeper dives. We need to find out what's going on with the pharmacy board, what's going on with, you know, the different agencies across the state. And let's make sure they're being run proper and effective and, you know, being handled right.
Yeah. And that's, it's always kind of surprising to me that, you know, well, that, you know, like the state health officer, and how many times have people tried to like do something about that? And the governor's like really protected the turf on this, I feel like, and some of these lawmakers have as well, but she's, and what we've learned from this whole episode with the VA, she could have probably, it's not that she wanted to, but if she just so decided to, probably could have fired Scott Harris anyway, based on her justification here.
Yeah, absolutely. There absolutely needs to be some checks and balances in place. And, you know, that way we can handle this. We don't need, you know, I guess we don't need to have it to where one person can, on their own, choose choose to get rid of somebody or do something. We need it to be some checks and balances in place so we know that we're doing the right thing as a state.
Yeah, I agree with that. Everything good on your front? I mean, you're also, and people may or may not know this, you're the police chief of Creola, and I know Creola was in the news yesterday or today, but talk about that real quick. Does that seem to be going all right? You know, we talked about this a lot probably early when you started coming on about these trends in crime and violent crime especially. And I haven't asked you this in a while, but what are the streets like these days?
It is not too bad. You know, of course, Creola is a really safe, small town, and not a lot goes on there. So, you know, outside of having to arrest a council member for DUI, everything's running pretty smooth. But, you know, we have our issues just like anyone. And, you know, the key and to a lot of this and just addressing it is proactive policing and getting out and communicating with your community and being a part of your community. And in doing so, people are going to help you. People are going to play a key role in your safety and security of your community. And when they're helping, man, it's not too complicated.
Representative, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on. We'll do this again in 2 weeks.
Sounds great, man. Y'all have a good day.
State Representative Shane Stringer there. Sorry, guys. Apparently, my three-year-old came in this week and or sometime over the weekend and pressed a bunch of buttons, and it kind of messed everything up. But I think we're back at normal operating protocol. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Yes, we are beer drinkers. Yes, we are hell raisers.